This Wikipedia entry is brought to you by Learn Out Loud. For more educational audio material, please visit www.learnoutloud.com. The following is the Wikipedia entry for podcasting and is current as of November 30th, 2005. For the text version of this entry, please visit www.wikipedia.org. Podcasting. Podcasting is a term used to describe a collection of technologies for automatically distributing audio and video programs over the internet using a publisher-subscriber model. It differs from earlier online collections of audio or video material because it automatically transfers materials to the user's computer for later consumption. It is one example of push technology. Podcasting enables independent producers to produce self-published, syndicated radio shows and gives broadcast radio or television programs a new distribution method. Any digital audio player or computer with audio playing software can play podcasts. From the earliest RSS enclosure tests in 2000 and 2001, feeds have been used to deliver video files as well as audio, and other media such as photographs and text are transferable by podcast. The term podcast, however, still refers largely to audio content distribution. A podcast is not the same as a webcast, which normally refers to a show distributed by streaming media. Name. Podcasting is a portmanteau that combines the words iPod and broadcasting. The term can be misleading since neither podcasting nor listening to podcasts requires an iPod or any portable player, and no broadcasting is required. The term is also criticized as giving undue credit to Apple for a technology which it had very little to do with creating. Aware of this potential misunderstanding, some writers have suggested alternative names. One such alternative is blogcasting, which implies content based on or similar in format to blogs. Others include audio blogging and RSS casting. Some writers have also suggested reinterpretations of pod, such as personal on demand. Podcasting as a medium is not limited to audio data. Podcasting of video data is called, among other things, vodcasting, vidcasting, blogging, or simply video podcasting. Mechanics. Technically speaking, podcasting is a push-based mechanism by which computer files are automatically transferred from a server to a client. In general, these files contain audio, video, image, or even text, e.g. PDF data, but any file is theoretically supported. A podcast is generally analogous to a non-live television or radio series. The content provider begins by making a file, for example an MP3 audio file, available on the internet. This is most frequently accomplished by posting the file on a publicly available web server. However, other means, such as BitTorrent trackers, are known to be used, and it is not absolutely necessary that the file be publicly accessible. Technically, the only requirement is that the file be accessible through some known URI, a general-purpose internet address. This file is often referred to as one episode of a podcast. The content provider then acknowledges the existence of that file by referencing it in another file known as the feed. The feed is a machine-readable list of the URIs by which episodes of the show may be accessed. This list is usually published in RSS format and also contains other information, such as publish dates, titles, and descriptions about the series and each of its episodes. The feed may contain entries for all episodes in the series, but as with many news feeds, are typically limited to a short list of the most recent. The content provider posts the feed to a known location on a web server. Unlike the episode file itself, the feed is published to a web server, usually not by any other means. The location at which the feed is posted is expected to be permanent. This location is known as the feed URI, or perhaps more often, feed URL. The content provider makes the feed URI known to the intended audience. A consumer enters this feed URI into a software program called a podcatcher or aggregator. The former term is specific to podcasting, while the latter is general to all programs which collect news from feeds. This program retrieves and processes the data from the feed URI. A podcatcher is usually an always-on program which starts when the computer is started and runs in the background. It manages a set of feed URIs added by the user and downloads each at a specified interval, such as every 2 hours. If the data has substantively changed from when it was previously checked, or if the feed was just added to the podcatcher's list, the program determines the location of the most recent episode and automatically downloads it to the user's computer. Some podcatchers, such as iTunes, also automatically make the newly downloaded episodes available to the user's portable media player, if applicable. This is only the typical behavior of a podcatcher. Some podcatchers behave or can be set to behave differently. The downloaded episodes can then be played, replayed, or archived, as with any other computer file. Compared with streaming, It is significant that podcasting does not provide live data transfer. It is a mechanism for transferring content which is already completely produced and not for streaming media content. To draw an analogy, streaming media provides a digitally networked equivalent to traditional broadcast radio and television. Meanwhile, podcasting bears a closer relationship to distribution of pre-recorded content, such as on CDs or DVDs, combined with an effectively passive collection of content, such as magazine subscription or CD of the Month Club membership. Podcasting provides a more suitable means of transferring high-quality media content to users with low bandwidth connections than does streaming. Low data rates and high latency do not adversely affect the quality of the content as they do with streaming. Programs distributed by podcasting are also not transient as with streamed programming. Whereas with streaming media, one actually must capture a stream of data as it is received, a podcast episode is initially received already in archived form. This distinction also makes a podcast legally distinct from a streamed webcast. History. Initial development. By 2003, web radio had existed for a decade, digital audio players had been on the market for several years, blogs and broadcasters frequently published MP3 audio online, and RSS file formats were widely used for summarizing or syndicating web content. In 2001, Userland founder and RSS evangelist Dave Weiner responded to a technical proposal from Tristan Lewis, and, a few weeks later, a request from Adam Curry to deliver video or audio with their RSS feeds. Weiner added a specific enclosure element to what was then his company's RSS specification, then to Radio Userland, a blogging system incorporating both a feed generator and an aggregator. Ironically, the rival RDF site summary syndication format already supported media resources implicitly, although applications rarely took advantage of that feature. In June 2003, Stephen Downes demonstrated aggregation and syndication of audio files using RSS in his EdRadio application. EdRadio scanned RSS feeds for MP3 files, collected them into a single feed, and made the result available as SMIL or WebJ audio feeds. In September 2003, Weiner created an RSS with enclosures feed to his Harvard Berkman Center colleague Christopher Lydon, a former newspaper and television journalist and public radio talk show host. For several months, Lydon had been thinking full-length MP3 interviews to his Berkman weblog, which focused on blogging and coverage of the 2004 U.S. presidential campaigns. Listening to Lydon's interviews on an iPod helped inspire Adam Curry to create an Apple script that aggregated the MP3 files and loaded them into customized playlists on iTunes, which would sync to his iPod. He put this Apple script in open source and called it iPodder at iPodder.org. Possibly the first use of the term podcasting was as a synonym for audio blogging or weblog-based amateur radio in an article by Ben Hammersley in The Guardian on February 12, 2004. In September of that year, Danny Gregory used the term to describe the automatic download and synchronization idea that Curry had developed. Gregory had also registered multiple domain names associated with podcasting. That usage was discovered and reported on by Curry and Dave Slusher of the Evil Genius Chronicles website. By 2004, detailed how-to podcasting articles had begun to appear online. In November 2004, Liberated Syndication, Libsyn, launched what was apparently the first podcast service provider, providing storage, bandwidth, and RSS creation tools. Precursor. Prior to the internet in the 1970s, RCS radio computing services provided music and talk-related software to the radio stations in a digital format. Prior to online music digital distribution, the MIDI format as well as the M-Bone multicast network was used to distribute audio and video files. The M-Bone was a multicast network over the internet used primarily by educational and research institutes, but there were audio talk programs. The source publisher is the National Association of Broadcasters Internet Age Broadcaster 1 and 2, and the author is Peggy Miles and Dean Sakai. Many other jukeboxes and websites in the mid-1990s provided a system for sorting and selecting music or audio files, talk, segue announcements of different digital formats. There were a few websites that provide audio subscription services. The development of downloaded music did not reach critical mass until the launch of Napster.com, another system of aggregating music, but without the subscription services provided by podcasting or video blogging aggregation, client, or system software. Independent of the development of podcasting via RSS, a portable player and music download system had been developed at Compaq Research as early as 1999 or 2000. called Pocket DJ, it would have been launched as a service for the personal jukebox or a successor, the first hard disk-based MP3 player. See appropriate section in the personal jukebox article. Popularization. The word about podcasting rapidly spread through the already popular weblogs of Curry, Weiner, and other early podcasters and podcast listeners. Fellow blogger and technology columnist Doc Searles began keeping track of how many hits Google found for the word podcasts on September 28, 2004, when the result was 24 hits. There were 526 hits for podcasts on September 30th, then 2,750 3 days later. The number doubled every few days, passing 100,000 by October 18th. As of November 24, 2005, Google reported 103 million hits for podcasts. Capturing the early distribution and variety of podcasts was more difficult than counting Google hits, but before the end of October, the New York Times reported podcasts across the United States and in Canada, Australia, and Sweden, mentioning podcast topics from technology to veganism and movie reviews. USA Today told its readers about these free amateur chat fests the following February, profiling several podcasters, giving instructions for sending and receiving podcasts, and including a top 10 list from one of the many podcast directories that had sprung up. A newspaper quoted one directory as listing 3,300 podcast programs in February 2005. Those top 10 programs gave further indication of podcast topics. Four were about technology, including Curry's Daily Source Code, which also included music and personal chat. Three were about music, one about movies, one about politics, and at the number one on the list, The Don and Drew Show, described as Married Couple Banner, a program format that USA Today noted was quite popular on American broadcast radio in the 1940s. Such couple casts have since become quite popular among independent podcasts, those not derived from a pre-existing radio show. In March of 2005, John Edwards became the first national-level U.S. politician to hold his own podcast. He may be the first major politician to have a podcast, given the nature of podcasting, we may never know. Within a few episodes, the show had all the features of a major podcast: a website with subscription feeds and show notes, guest appearances, questions from the audience, reviews and discussion of other media, in this case books, musical interludes of pod-safe, non-infringing songs, light banner, sports and recreation talk, even limited sound seeing from on location. By mid-2005, the medium had acquired a bittersweet form of validation, a backlash. Some experienced internet users declared podcasting to be either nothing special, just a variant of blogs and MP3s, or already past its peak because of growing exposure and/or adoption by unsavvy internet users. In June 2005, Apple added podcasts to its iTunes 4.9 music software and iTunes Music Store, staking a claim to the medium. The iTunes software downloads and organizes podcasts and loads them on the iPod, taking the place of a separate aggregator application. In addition, iTunes 5 interfaces with the online music store, which compiles and distributes the content. As of October 2005, the music store is free of charge to both listener and creator. A little over a month later, U.S. President George W. Bush became a podcaster when someone added an RSS 2.0 feed to the previously downloadable files of the weekly radio addresses at the White House website. As is often the case with new technologies, pornography has become a part of the scene, producing what is sometimes called podnography. Other approaches include enlisting a class full of MPA students to research podcasting and compare possible business models and venture capital flowing to influential content providers. The growing popularity of podcasting introduced a demand for music available for use on the shows without significant cost or licensing difficulty. Out of this demand, a growing number of tracks by independent as well as signed acts are now being designated pod safe. In September 2005, the first podcast encoded in full Dolby 5.1 surround sound was created by Revision 3 Studios with the 14th episode of Dig Nation. The Dolby encoding lasted for only a few minutes of the podcast. Adoption by traditional broadcasters. Traditional broadcasters were extremely quick to pick up on the podcasting format, especially those whose news or talk format spared them the complication of music licensing. The American syndicated radio show Web Talk Radio became the first to adopt the format in September 2004, followed within weeks by Seattle news radio station KOMO and by individual programs from KFI Los Angeles and Boston's WGBH. The BBC began a trial in October 2004 with BBC Radio 5 Live's Fighting Talk. These trials were extended in January 2005 to BBC Radio 4's In Our Time. Also in January 2005, CBC Radio began a trial with its weekly national science and technology show Quirks and Quarks, which has offered listeners real audio, MP3, and OGG downloads since February 1996. The CBC trial also included CBC Radio 3's Canadian Music Podcast, as well as limited podcasting of CBLA's popular Metro Morning Toronto show. United States National Public Radio member stations WNYC and KCRW adopted the format for many of their productions. March saw Virgin Radio become the first UK radio station to produce a daily podcast of its popular breakfast show. In April 2005, the BBC announced that it was extending the trial to 20 more programs, including music radio. And in the same month, Australia's ABC launched a podcasting trial across several of its national stations. In May 2005, the trend began to go the other way, with podcasts becoming a source of content for broadcast radio programs by Adam Curry, Christopher Lydon, and others. The entire format of KYOU Radio, a San Francisco radio station, became based around broadcasting podcasts. That summer, when the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation locked out more than 5,000 of its regular on-air and technical staff, they responded by creating their own unofficial podcast of original programming, CBC Unplugged, which has also appeared on some campuses and community radio stations, including CIUT in Toronto and CFRU in Guelph, Ontario. Coping with growth. While podcasting's innovators took advantage of the sound file synchronization feature of Apple Computer's iPod and iTunes software and included Pod in the name, the technology was always compatible with other players and programs. Apple was not actively involved until mid-2005 when it joined the market on three fronts: as a source of a podcatcher software, as a publisher of a podcast directory, and as provider of tutorials on how to create podcasts with Apple products, GarageBand and QuickTime Pro. When it added a podcast subscription feature to its June 28, 2005 release of iTunes 4.9, Apple also launched a directory of podcasts at the iTunes Music Store, starting with 3,000 entries. Apple software enabled AAC-encoded podcasts to use chapters, bookmarks, external links, and synchronized images displayed on iPod screens or in its iTunes Artwork Viewer. 2 days after release of the program, Apple reported 1 million podcast subscriptions. Some podcasters found that exposure to iTunes' huge number of downloaders threatened to make great demands on their bandwidth and related expenses. Possible solutions were proposed, including the addition of content delivery systems such as Liberated Syndication, Podcast Servers, Akamai, a peer-to-peer solution, BitTorrent, or use of free hosting services such as those offered by Our Media, Blip Media, and the Internet Archive. As of September 2005, a number of services began featuring video-based podcasting, including Apple via its iTunes Music Store and Lumia. Known by some as a vodcast, the services handle both audio and video feeds, as well as publish broadcasting made possible by Participatory Culture Foundation. Other uses. Podcasting's initial appeal was to allow individuals to distribute their own radio shows, but the system is increasingly used for other reasons, including a way for people and organizations to avoid regulatory bodies, like the British Ofcom, that would not allow a program to be broadcast in traditional media. A way for news organizations to distribute audio as an addition to their existing text, or mostly text, news products. For example, Wikinews began to podcast its news briefs in 2005. Education. Musselburgh Grammar School, Scotland, began podcasting foreign language audio revision and homework, possibly becoming the first school in Europe to launch a regular podcast. Some of the early classroom podcasts from America include the Room 208 podcast from Wells, Maine, Radio Willoweb from Omaha, Nebraska, and Room 613. Politics. In the U.S., both major political parties have various podcasts, as do several politicians. Religion. Podcasting, or in this context, Godcasting, has been used by many religious groups. Many churches produce podcasts or talks and sermons. Disciples with Microphones provides podcasts related to the Catholic Church. Unofficial audio tours of museums, museacasts. Official cultural historic audio tour of cities, Odyssey guides. Communication from space. On the 7th of August 2005, American astronaut Steve Robinson claimed the first podcast from space during the Space Shuttle Discovery Mission, STS-114. Although there was no subscription feed, merely an audio file that required manual downloading. Television commentary. Battlestar Galactica writer and executive producer Ronald D. Moore creates commentary podcasts for each new episode of Battlestar Galactica. Other television shows have since followed suit. Conference and meeting alerts. Podcasts can be packaged to alert attendees to agendas, hosted roundtables, and daily feedback. Advocacy. the 5,500 locked out staff, editors, journalists, technicians, hosts, etc. of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation were podcasting news and other programming during August and September of 2005. Youth media. Podcasting has become a way for youth media organizations such as Youth Radio to bring youth perspectives to wider audiences. Newspapers. Newspapers use podcasts to broadcast audio content from print interviews and drive traffic to their websites. The San Francisco Chronicle is believed to be the first major daily newspaper to start podcasting using an external website. Hong Kong's South China Morning Post was the first to use its own website and the first in Asia, having launched on April 19, 2005. The Society of Critical Care Medicine has a podcast used to update clinicians and summaries of important articles, as well as interviews. In the second half of 2005, a communication studies course at the University of Western Australia used student-created podcasts as the main assessment item. Podcasting and music royalties. From the beginning, the use of licensed music and podcasts has been a delicate legal issue. As was originally the case with streaming internet radio, this new and infinitely more archival form of media content would need to comply with as yet unwritten rules. Terrestrial radio broadcasters' podcasts and MP3 file downloads without subscription fees have run into complications regarding royalties for incidental music used on talk broadcast, even when identification programs are streamed. The broadcasters apparently believe companies that license the music will challenge its use in easily downloaded MP3 files, while streaming is closer to a broadcasting model. For example, when popular U.S. conservative commentator Rush Limbaugh began offering podcasts early in 2005, his employer, Premier Radio Networks, tightened its editing of intro and bumper music, which it had previously allowed on other MP3 files. One effect was to render some of the Premier broadcaster Glenn Beck's podcasts difficult to follow. He would appear to stop mid-sentence and restart in different thought because of cuts required to remove royalty-protected music. Future licensing issues. The U.S. Congress is studying possible reforms to the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which may in the future affect broadband and internet services. Original podcasts. Till early in November 2005, Adam Curry's Daily Source Code regularly featured in various forms music licensed by RIAA and other such agencies without properly managing royalties. Sometimes their inclusion was defended as fair use, and sometimes it was just admittedly illegal. But there was very real justification for all of it, especially considering that use of the tracks in the show actually promoted sales. Many other podcasters followed Curry's lead with the same justifications. After hitting a dead end with industry representatives and other officials, Curry decided to make his show henceforth fully pod-safe, and all other hosts on Podshow, as well as many other podcasters worldwide, followed his lead once again. Podshow's music programs now focus almost entirely on entries in its own PodSafe Music Network, or on other officially PodSafe music. Daily Source Code, which generally featured one song each episode from the PMN even before the change, now usually features two to compensate. Other podcasters are encouraged to use music from the PMN wherever their shows require music. This has been the Wikipedia entry for podcasting. This Wikipedia entry has been brought to you by Learn Out Loud. For more educational audio material, please visit www.learnoutloud.com.